From Decatur to Dunwoody, from Tucker to Toco Hills, from Chamblee to Stone Mountain, this is the voice of commerce in DeKalb County. Now, broadcasting from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Decatur, this is DeKalb Business Today.
And welcome in to DeKalb Business Today. My name is Matt Holmes, doing our monthly Power Lunch edition where we profile the local food and drink industry. A lot happening on that front. We're going to introduce our wonderful panel coming up in just a second. But before we do, we want to remind you that DeKalb Business Radio is on social media. You can follow us on Twitter at DeKalb Radio X. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DeKalb Business Radio X. You can listen live each Friday at DeKalb.BusinessRadioX.com. And of course, find our free podcast. If you can't catch us live, it's on our website, also on iTunes, both a free download. And of course, this edition of DeKalb Business Today is brought to you by the Bornelis Insurance Group of Dunwoody. For all your insurance needs, contact Callan and her talented team at 1-800-376-8967 or just check out the link on our website, DeKalb.BusinessRadioX.com. All right, let's get to that panel I mentioned earlier. And our first guest is Mary Moore, the founder and CEO of the Cook's Warehouse. Mary, we're glad to have you here.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
So you are not just a business executive. You're an entrepreneur. You started this up.
I did, almost 21 years ago.
Wow. Talk a little bit about the growth. You start in one location and now you're all over the metro area.
Right. So I used to cook professionally. Wondered why there wasn't a great resource in Atlanta for all things culinary, to where I could go and talk to people who knew what they were talking about, had all the gear that I needed. So I decided to just jump off the cliff and do it myself.
That's awesome. Are you working more with home chefs? Are you working with restaurants at all?
I work with both, but by and large, you know, in the metro Atlanta area, there are a lot more home cooks than there are chefs.
Absolutely.
But we serve both communities.
Tell us where your locations are.
Ansley Mall, downtown Decatur, and East Cobb and Merchants Walk, and then cookswarehouse.com.
Perfect. Perfect. We'll look forward to talking with you more throughout the show.
Let's introduce
our second guest, Rory Webb. He is the proprietor of Cafe Jaya in the Stone Mountain area. Rory, we're glad to have you.
It's awesome to be here.
You have a very unique business model. Tell us about that.
Okay, we're a nonprofit community coffee house. So all of our profits go back into the community. And we're our model is actually there to serve the community. So
That's really interesting. How did you come up with the idea or the desire to run a nonprofit coffee house? It's very selfless.
Well, it's actually nothing new. They're all over the country. There are nonprofit coffee houses. There's actually some nonprofit nightclubs even starting up, which I thought was rather unusual. There's one in Houston. It just allows you to serve a purpose in the community beyond just opening a business. And we were real excited about doing it, did a lot of research prior to it, and it's worked out real well for us.
Where does the money go? What are some of the worthy charities that you're working with?
We have three charities that we run at all times, and they change. We try to keep them community-driven. So we're in the historic Stone Mountain Village, and we try to keep them to charities, nonprofit organizations that are there. We're located right next to ARF, which is Pet Rescue, and that's one of our charities. Another charity is Community Connections, and they work with foster children. And the last one that we currently have is Side by Side, which is a clubhouse for adults with brain injury.
Wow.
And people, when they come and purchase their coffees are able to, or adult beverages, are able to take a chip, and we call it chipping in, and they take a poker chip and they put it into a canister of which charity they would like to benefit from their purchase.
That's very cool. We'll look forward to talking more about Cafe Jaya, some of the coffee side, and of course the other beverages you offer.
Yes.
Coming up in just a second. But our third guest, AJ Cannon, he is with Da Vinci's in Decatur. Some pretty good pizza you got over there.
Well, thank you very much. I'd just like to say, first of all, I'm really ready for this open and honest discussion. And with that being said, I would like for you to please address all your questions through my attorneys. and in addition, I would like to invoke my Fifth Amendment privilege.
You know how we operate here. That's okay. Yeah. We're not going to grill you. How'd you get into the pizza business?
I've been in the broadcasting business, oddly enough, for more than 35 years, almost 40.
Mm-hmm.
And broadcasting business has been a tough nut to crack. Ever since the 90s, it's been kind of a, you know how this goes.
Oh, sure.
So I've decided to kind of look out and branch out into some other possibilities, and I just happened to meet with the people at Da Vinci's, and I brought them a different skill set than they were familiar with, people who go into their restaurants looking for jobs. I went into a management end of it. I actually became a GM of one of their locations. And then because of my experience in the radio business, I've branched out into promotions and marketing for that company.
We could probably sit here and list about 100 differences between radio and between being a restaurateur. What are some of the similarities?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of differences, but there's a lot of similarities. A lot of what I learned about management in the radio business instantly transferred over. I mean, a lot of that stuff is pretty much the same as far as you have to understand your who your client is, you have to understand who your customer is, and you have to super serve that customer. It's the same deal in radio.
Yeah.
It's just a different way of going about it.
Very cool. Looking forward to talking with you about some of the gourmet pizza options you guys offer.
Well, we got
some cool combinations.
Them.
Absolutely.
I'm loving what I'm this is going to be great just talking to the rest of your panelists, too. I'm really interested in what you're doing, Rory and Mary. I've been reading through your package here. Now I get to learn some more.
That's right. It's a brilliant segue as our fourth guest is Chef Eric Roberts from the Iberian Pig. We appreciate you coming out of the kitchen to join us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
All right. So Decatur Restaurant Week is coming up. Talk about Iberian Pig and Castellucci's role in that.
Well, let's see. The Iberian Pig, for the most part, we got the ball rolling with the Restaurant Week last year. It was our first Restaurant Week for Decatur, and we pretty much, led the way for all the restaurants to join together. And now, you know, with this being our second year, it's grown in size, and we've really, you know, helped bring everything together.
It's a situation where some very nice restaurants, and the pricing goes all over the place. I saw that one of the restaurants involved, I think it's a $15 menu. You get $25 mm-hmm. menus, $35, but it's a prefix menu, basically.
Yes.
What will you guys be serving?
Well, for us, obviously we're Spanish tapas oriented, and so we have a large selection of tapas. And for the most part, we've tried to keep our tasting menu to about 10 options and allow our guests to come in for $35 and experience as many as they can.
It's very cool. We'll look forward to talking more about that and more about some of the inspiration behind the very unique food at the Iberian
Pig. Absolutely.
This is DeKalb Business Today, the Power Lunch Edition. I'm Matt Holmes, and let's go back to Mary Moore. She is the founder and the CEO of Cook's Warehouse. You've got a whole listing of, it's not just selling kitchen supplies, but a whole listing of cooking classes. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we teach almost 800 cooking classes a year. And we teach everything from, you know, chocolate to sushi to homemade pasta, Knife Skills 101. That's one of our number one classes. It has been for 20 years. Learn how to chop quickly and efficiently so you can cut your prep time in half. Mm-hmm. So we do classes across the board, and we have both public classes and private. So you can schedule a corporate team building, holiday party, birthday parties, bar mitzvahs. We've done bridal showers across the gamut.
I will tell you, we're coming up on the holiday season, believe it or not, that is coming up. The best Christmas present I ever gave my wife, many, many years ago, we didn't live in Atlanta yet, but there was a local place did cooking classes, and I got her a pastry cooking class. She learned how to make the most delicious pie dough. That's still paying off for me personally,
right.
Years and years later. Yeah. Is it a situation where you see that as a gift-giving type thing?
Absolutely. And like you're saying, it's the gift that keeps on giving. Mm-hmm. So we sell gift certificates for cooking classes or, you know, gear, whatever people want. But we have a lot of gifting around classes. It's a great way to do it. And we have kids classes. We start as young as 3 years old. I started cooking when I was three.
Okay.
So, if you can make a great impression when kids are really young and they get into it, then I think it sticks with them, and it's really important to have real food.
What kinds of people are you bringing in to conduct these classes?
It runs the gamut. I mean, like Chef Eric, different great chefs from around Decatur and Atlanta, around our city. We have cookbook authors and national chefs. We have some international chefs who come in and teach. So we've had Paula Deen and Giada De Laurentiis and Sarah Moulton. So we've had some celebrity chefs and Todd English, but we really like to focus on the local chefs who, you know, day in and day out do such an amazing job in our city, and people love to make that connection with them.
There's no shortage of great chefs
there
in the city.
Atlanta's
on fire. I mean, we're so lucky. And Iberian Pig's one of my favorite spots.
Yeah, especially here around Decatur.
Cooking classes participated in. It's a great community cause as well.
Right. So we teach, we host all of the Simple Abundance cooking classes that benefit 100% benefits the Atlanta Community Food Bank. So we donate the space and the staff and our time, and the chefs donate their time and the food. And so literally when you make the reservation, you make it with the food bank and all the money goes to them.
That's fantastic. How about the products that you sell? Sorry to interrupt, but you mentioned there is also the online aspect. You have three brick and mortars,
Yes. The
online aspect. Mm-hmm. Talk about the products and talk about kind of the division of sales. How much business do you do online as compared to in the store?
Online's about 12% of our business at this point, and it's the fastest growing part of the business. I mean, it just sort of is the nature of retail right now, but we have such a great experiential environment in the stores that people still love to come in and mm-hmm. talk to people who know what they're doing, who know about cooking, who can sell them the right tool. It doesn't have to be the most expensive one. We want to get the right one in your hand. And that's what we're all about. It's not a, it's not self-serving. It's truly selling fun in the kitchen. We want people to be around the table and cooking more and together more. So we carry everything from, you know, something for 50 cents to a sub-zero 60-inch range for $15,000. So, I mean, a Wolf range, sorry, sub-zero refrigerators, they can get up that way too.
What have been some of the pivotal moments for you as a business owner as you've gone? Obviously, you start with one location, you make a decision mm-hmm. to expand. What have been some of the situations you've run into along the way?
So I did start with one location, 2,500 square feet. To let you know how little I knew at the time, I had about 1,400 square feet of retail space and a 900 square foot stock room. I would never do that today, right? Ignorance is bliss in a way, and I've learned so much. It's amazing. But expanded that location, started opening other locations. One of the biggest moves I made actually was moving my original location, which was on Amsterdam Avenue, to Ansley Mall. So that that shopping center had started waning. There wasn't as much traffic going down there. And I thought, you know, if I don't move, I'm going to be in trouble. And it was an emotional decision. It was a tough decision. It's where I started. It's where it all began. But during the recession, this is 2009,
sure.
So everything fell apart. And the opportunity I had in that moment was amazing. So real estate for something that I couldn't have got it otherwise, build out with construction, you know, lots of people ready to work that I couldn't
work,
have gotten it otherwise. So really making a bold decision to move in that particular environment was one of the best things I did.
You're based here in Atlanta, in and around Atlanta. Are there ideas expand outside of this market? Is there a reason to just stay in this market?
I think there's a huge opportunity to expand outside of this market too. I mean, what we deliver to people and the way that we do it is different from our competition. And we have a lot of competition. I mean, cookware has become a commodity of
sure.
sorts, but it's the education, it's the experience, it's the very knowledgeable staff that brings a different level to it.
Again,
so
the website.
A lot of opportunity.
The website is cookswarehouse.com. You can follow them on Twitter at cookswarehouse. You're also on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest. Is there anything
right.
I'm missing there?
I think you got them all.
You got the social media bases yes. covered. Mary Moore from the Cook's Warehouse. We'll circle back with you coming up a little bit later in the show.
Thank you.
But back with our second guest, Rory Webb. Again, Cafe Jaya is the nonprofit coffee and drink house there in Stone Mountain. And it's not just a coffee house, right?
Well, that's correct. We're also a drinkery. We have craft beers and wine and lots of live music and other arts-related events that happen there.
So what's your background? How did you get into this?
Well, actually, I come from a hospitality background. I was through hotels and in catering, and then I did event management for a period of time. I owned a meeting planning and event management company. And, you know, I think a lot of people have a little dream of owning a little cafe or a coffee house. And so it just sort of morphed into that. But there was a lot of preparation prior to actually opening.
Well, your little cafe or coffee house was named Best Coffee House in Atlanta by the Georgia Voice readers. How did that happen?
We don't know, but we're excited about it. We wish the surprises everybody. Somebody came in one day and said, you've been nominated. And we didn't even realize that. And then we were contacted by the Georgia Voice and they said that you were nominated. And, you know, we went to the awards banquet and received the award. So we were really honored by that. And it was in our rookie year. We're only a year old. We opened August 1st of 2014. And in July, we received that award this last July. So it was pretty exciting. And
you were unprepared for that. Did you have a speech written for that?
Thank all the little people.
Did Kanye West come on stage?
No, and there was no you know, costume malfunctions or anything either up there.
That's a good thing.
But we were just very excited about it. We knew that we were making an impact. Our mission statement when we started was basically to make an impact on the community, to be that third place, to really be able to make a difference, to help the charities, and we were really, really, really excited and pleased. And I think, and you all know from starting businesses or working in businesses, when you first start off, you sometimes have to sit there and pinch yourself and say, are people really responding this way?
Yeah.
All of our Google, all of our Yelp are all 5 stars. We've never received anything less than that. And people just, when they walk in, they immediately start commenting on the atmosphere and how the place feels. And of course, our product is very good as well. So.
Since you bring that up, the Google and the Yelp reviews for our restaurateurs and our chefs in here, how important is that? Because you hear all the time, anybody can go on there and put on a lousy review. They may not have actually eaten at your restaurant. I mean, it could be a competitor or whatever. How important are these reviews?
I think they're extremely important, to be honest, because we do have a lot of people who will say they drove, 9 miles to come to our coffee house for a cup of coffee because based on our reviews. And I think that Google and Yelp both are getting pretty good about weeding out the bad reviews that are obviously, this former employee or something that went on there and did that. I think they're getting pretty good about that. Unfortunately, on the other hand, they also weed out some really good ones because they think it was done by the owner, even if it wasn't. So, but I think that they are important. I mean, we have had people comment that quite a few new customers come in that say they saw our reviews and that drove them to want to come there.
AJ?
As far as the social
media reviews,
well, we found, and especially we had another business that we opened up. We had another location in Roswell, and in that location, we actually went outside of our comfort zone. And to be quite frank with you, we made a mistake by doing that, and we have since rebranded it, and it's doing very well. But we did find through our social media exploits that there were people who were jumping on board who really had not sampled the product. And we're doing damage. Mm-hmm. Now, think about it. I mean, I always use when I'm going out to a restaurant, I almost always go to Yelp just to get an idea what I'm going into, and to get an idea what the service is like, what the product's like. But it really can be damaging. And you're right; they've done a really good job lately of weeding that out. But like as you say, they have also weeded out some of our more positive reviews that they just thought were just a little bit too positive. And it's kind of a weird thing, the way that works.
Now, you guys are the ones who run the places. For Chef Eric at Iberian Pig, if you see a positive review, a bad review online, do you take that personally?
I mean, honestly, it's a great tool for not just to drive in customers, but also a good training tool, to help better ourselves and our staff at the facilities. Mm-hmm. And it's good to know, it in a constructive, criticism. It's good to have some good feedback and what we could improve on and what we could do better. It's great all around tool.
Yeah, DeKalb Business Today, this is the Power Lunch Edition. Back to you, Rory, at Cafe Jaya. I'm curious as to how you set up your spot. When I think of a coffee house, I think of Central Perk on Friends.
Right.
You've got the comfy couches, you got the big mugs, and it has a feel. It has a certain feel. How did you set up your establishment?
Well, it definitely has a feel. We purchased the building. Well, first of all, we looked in many communities, and Stone Mountain Village, is up and coming, but it at this point doesn't have the walk-in traffic that you really would want in a coffee house. However, they did not have a coffee house. They had 3 bakeries, awesome bakeries, no coffee house. We saw that opportunity. We purchased a building that had been closed for 10 years. So we were able to really create what we wanted in there. And it's kind of 3 rooms that open into each other. And it's just very warm when you walk in. We were very intentional of making the atmosphere very eclectic and warm, wooden floors. And, we have the tin ceiling and, just bookcases, and we have a lending library. People bring books in, people take books. So it's it's just very interesting. And it's we do have the couch, we do have some comfy chairs and a lot of small tables, and we wanted to create a space with a lot of tables. So when you have that person come in and go gets a glass of water and sits there all day on their laptop, they're more than welcome. We love having them there using our internet and our facility. Because we have enough space that when the people come in that are purchasing things still have some place to sit. So we intentionally created a larger dining area to sit in. And we have a fairly large stage, and we fit a 6-piece Latin jazz band on it. So
there you go.
Pretty good size.
I can tell already I'm going to be hanging out there a lot.
Before we move on, it really caught my attention in reading up on it. You don't have any paid employees.
None.
How does that work?
Including myself.
Yeah, how does that work?
Well, as I said, there was a lot of preparation that went into this. So did a lot of research. We worked with a local roaster, and we went to their coffee house, and we trained with them. But in the prior to that, financially, we not only had the money set aside that we needed to purchase the building, do the renovations, but I also made sure that I had over a year's salary in the bank so that I could go ahead and work it and not draw anything. As a matter of fact, I was the barista on staff. We did have somebody help in the beginning who was a graduate of Georgia State, and she graduated with nonprofit management, and she did an internship for about 3 months, and that was great. She actually helped me get it open, and I do have a business partner as well that also works the cafe, Jeff Carey, and we just knew that we were going to have to go for a period of time without taking a salary. And now I've actually started being able to keep my tips. So that's been kind of fun. But there still is no salary. All of our bands that come in, they play gratis. You know, obviously they can receive gratuities, and we encourage that. But we do have a lot of volunteers that come in and actually work, do the dishes, clean the tables, sweep, mop.
They can come to my house anytime.
And a few that have learned to be a barista, and, so they learn to make the lattes and all. And it's been a really fun experience. And I think that the fact that there are no paid employees, too, and the community knows that, and that's one of the things that they think is so awesome. I was telling you about the chip-in program. Sometimes I forget to put that back up on the counter after we've wiped the counter. Mm. And I have some customers get pretty upset that they can't put their chip in something. So they love the fact that they can choose their charity as well when they come and purchase. But the whole concept of the nonprofit has really done well for us.
Very cool. Give us the physical location. Give us the hours for the listeners.
Okay, we're at 6566 James B. Rivers Memorial Drive, and that's in Stone Mountain, in the historic Stone Mountain Village. I think last month you had Hildy on here from the Village
German,
Corner. Yeah, the German restaurant. They're like two blocks from us. They're great neighbors. We're right down the street from them. So we're just about two blocks under the train track off of Main Street on James B. Rivers.
There you go. Get your baked goods over at the Village Corner. And
we
then
do.
Your coffee over at Cafe Giant.
Well, we actually sell some of their baked goods as well. All of our baked goods, we don't bake our own goods. We have three great bakeries in the community. And again, being a community coffee house, we sell their bakery items. So
very cool. Again, the website is cafejaya.com. They're on Facebook, facebook.com/CafeJaya. Let's get back with AJ Cannon from Da Vinci's Indicator. Talk to me about this idea of the gourmet pizza, because you see on TV all the time, we're advertised, Pizza Hut for $7 and Little Caesars for $5. It's not the same type of pizza.
It's not the same type of pizza at all. And you know what? I'm not going to denigrate what those guys do. They do what they do very well, but they do it at a price point that, quite frankly, we can't compete with those guys on price point, and we don't intend to. What we do is everything in the store is made fresh. Everything is prepped in our kitchens. That goes right down to the salad dressings. If you have one of our salads, that salad dressing was made the same day in our kitchen. And when we like to say this, we do a lot of catering business now too. That's our main flux right now, is trying to go back into more catering business, and brought up one of our catering menus. You look at our regular menu, there's a lot of specialty pizzas on there, specialty sandwiches, hot and cold. You have salads, you have pastas and everything, and some other things that are available as far as dessert trays on our catering menu that that aren't even available on our regular menu. And we do things by request as well. If somebody wants something catered, they give us a call. We can usually whip it up in one of our kitchens and get it over to them. Unlike some of these other places that they do a lot of catering business, again, God bless them, but we show up, we bring the food. It's quality food. It's what we like to call clean food. And we set it up. We make sure everything is perfect for the client. And we still, even though it's a quality, it's a quality product, it's still at a good price point.
You offer one of the larger pizzas that I've ever. Is it like a 20-inch,
yeah, Daddy,
like extra super large?
We're not playing with you. We're not playing. We have the 20-inch pizza.
It's huge.
It's absolutely gargantuan is the word we like to use for it. And we have to have a special pizza bag to drag that sucker out of the store. That's what I'm talking about. So when you see somebody grabbing the big pizza bag, you know that something special is about to happen.
So what are some of those specialty combinations when it comes to the pizzas?
Oh, well, a lot of our pizzas are named after people that work in the store. And the way these things came about was over the years. We first started in Smyrna. And when we started over there, it was just a small store. And there were only four employees in that store. And one of them is the owner of the company, Jason Black.
Okay.
And a couple of other people. Those people were working if they felt like they were working 24 hours, because they were in from open till close, and they were just running as lean as possible just to kind of build it up. And then, of course, how that works. You branch out from there. But for a while, they were always in the store, and, I don't have to tell you. I mean, you work your regular hours, and sometimes it seems like it's hard enough.
Absolutely.
And when you're in there and you start to see the business come in, and you're having to really get after it, and then you're there open to close every day, that's just really hard work. But anyway, we started that way, and what was your original question?
Asking about the specialties. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. And so what they would do is they would just play around in the kitchen. You know, they really
kind
weren't
experiments.
There really wasn't some structured research and development kitchen that was going on. They were just they would grab some pizza dough and they would slap it out and they would just try different combinations. And that's how we came up with things like the Big Jason's. That's Italian sausage, bacon, red onion, garlic. Simple.
Mm-hmm.
Simple. But that was his favorite pie, so that ended up on the menu. And then we entered some really interesting combinations. Lately, it's amazing how I've eaten there every day of my life just about since I've gone to work for the company. And I still find combinations, and I never get tired of the food. Like right now, I'm on a kick where I'm having the olive oil based pizzas. Mm-hmm. That's my thing lately, the margaritas and stuff like that. But we even have a pizza called the Italian Stallion, where there's a creamy Italian dressing swirl that goes on at the very end of it. You know, and all of that came about just by playing around in the kitchen. We were messing around last week, and we were making up a chicken piccata. And we were also doing a chicken marsala, just some stuff we were working on for our catering end of it. We said, "Hey man, let's try dropping some of this marsala action on a pizza dough and see what's." And it's absolutely delicious. It could end up on our menu in the next 6 months because spinach and marsala and everything. That's the way all of these specialty pizza combinations came about.
We know there's, I don't know, probably a dozen of the discount Pizza Hut, Domino's, whatever. There's a lot of competition in that market. What about for the gourmet pizza market? Is there a lot of competition there?
It's a great pizza city. You know, you can go. Decatur has a lot of great pizza. We understand that we're up against businesses that have outstanding pizza. Mm-hmm. You know, and we go around and we try all those pizzas. We love them. And we embrace the fact that we have so many other businesses in town that make great pizza. But here's the thing. I think we have the best pizza that you can have brought to you. You know, you don't see people who make those kind of masterpiece pizzas delivering very often. Mm-hmm. We'll bring it right to your door. Well, if you want to cater an event, we'll bring it to your catering event. It's that kind of deal sets us apart from those other companies.
How big a footprint does Da Vinci's have around Metro Atlanta?
Metro Atlanta, you're talking as far as delivery area. We have in Smyrna, we cover most of Smyrna, about a good 10-mile radius here in Decatur. We're kind of expanding our delivery range right now. We've hired a few more drivers, and we have approximately 6-mile delivery range radius, which is twice as much as what we have for our Midtown store, which is about a 3.5-mile delivery range over there.
Mary mentioned that with Cook's Warehouse, the online purchasing is about 12% of their business. Pizza delivery type restaurants, I'm sure that's been a big change over the years, people ordering more online. How big a percentage of your business is ordering online versus people calling up?
We have that as well. Our website, by the way, DaVinciesDelivers.com.
Okay.
You can get on there and find your appropriate store. You can do pickup, delivery, takeout, whatever you want to do. But I don't have the exact numbers on that, but I'd say it's very comparable to that. I'd say the numbers are pretty much in line with what Mary is experiencing over there. And it's at least at this Decatur location, it's actually starting to increase even more with our online ordering.
Very cool. Yeah. Before we move on to the chef, I got to ask you, you come in, you look like you're relatively in shape. You work at a pizza restaurant. How's that possible?
Really?
How are you not obese?
I don't know if there's some kind of optical delusion going on, but you can see the pizza and pasta on me.
I would imagine there'd be a lot more.
Okay. I'll tell you what it probably is. I'm always running.
Okay.
You're going to see me a lot more in the Decatur community because I'm going to be going out doing marketing, promotion stuff. I do a lot of business to business where I go in and just let people know we're here. Let them know what we do.
Absolutely.
And I do that for all of our locations. So I'm constantly running, but I'm eating, man. Don't think I'm not eating because it happens on a regular basis. My girlfriend notices. I'm glad. If you don't, that's great, but she notices.
AJ Cannon from Da Vinci's in Decatur again. DaVinciesDelivers.com.
DaVinciesDelivers.com.
Perfect. Let's get with the fourth guest of our panel, and that's Chef Eric Roberts from the Iberian Pig. Decatur Restaurant Week coming up, I believe it starts on Sunday. When you talk about your specific restaurant, the Iberian Pig, there are some mainstays on the menu. There are changes seasonally to the menu.
Yes.
How do you come up with some of that?
For the most part, you know, some of the staples have been there since day one. You know, it's hard to wean our guests away from the classics and the mm-hmm. favorites. For the most part, we've been trying to change our menu seasonally every 3 months, you know, with the seasons. And it's you know, right now we're focused more on local sustainability. You know, you hear the term farm to table. We try to embrace that and, for the most part, try to support our local farmers and community. And whatever they have to offer, we take that and we try to create some Spanish flavor from that.
Now, I had we had your general manager, Leanne Miller, on a while ago here on DeKalb Business Today on the Power Lunch Edition. And she mentioned, we talked about the fact I have a three-year-old and he really enjoys your food. Obviously, you have the mac and cheese and that sort of thing. And she said that what you guys will do is if you have a young kid come in, there's no kids menu. She likes to have the chef come out and talk with the kid about what they like. That's something that you do.
That is so cool.
It really is.
Me, if I'm not in the kitchen, then my other two sous chefs will do the same. We try to cater to as many people we can, children, and all the other individuals that, you know, tend to have more allergies or, you know, different needs. We've tried to increase, you know, our gluten-free menus, our vegetarian menus, and our dairy options, dairy-free options, for the most part since I've been there. And, it's, you know, Decatur's, been a good hub of, growth in the farm-to-table kind of, area, and there's a lot of people with specific needs, more so I find coming into Decatur now because they know the restaurants here will help cater to their needs.
Tell me a little bit about your background. How did you get to Iberian Pig? How did you get into this industry?
Let's see. I started right out of high school for the most part in the restaurant scene, more hands-on. I worked for Buckhead Life for a very long time. You know, the School of Hard Knocks, that would be it, correct? And for the most part, I worked for them off and on and worked for a few of their chefs as well outside of that company. And, you know, I've been in Atlanta since 2000. I've been in the restaurant scene, you know, since then. I've not left it. I've also, you know, I wound up here. Fortunately, I have a child. And, you know, my wife and I have been married for just over, you know, just at 5 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I stumbled onto them. It was a great opportunity for me and my family and to grow, not just professionally, but, you know, in our own community. I live 2 miles away, actually.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's just great.
At Iberian Pig, it's a very specific type of cuisine. You talk about the Spanish tapas. How do you stay up to date? How do you make sure that it's authentic to that region?
Well, for the most part, you know, I tell everyone, you know, France put food as we know it pretty much to, you know, put it out there and they created what we know. But, you know, Spain has really taken that, I think, into this century, you know, right now. And it's a lot of great creativity coming out of Spain. And we're really lucky to be able to focus on that region and that country. It's for the most part, there's not many Spanish tapas restaurants in Atlanta. And we try to keep a lot of the classics from that country, you know, and try to create some of the newer things and look at some of the great, you know, three Michelin star chefs and at what we try to create and pull from them and try to replicate it, even as difficult it is. That's really what, you know, our main focus is trying to look at some of the great chefs from Spain and build on their cuisine and incorporate all the great Georgia local products.
Well, it's great, and it's great food. Talk a little bit about, real quick, before we wrap with you, the relationship there in the Castellucci Hospitality Group, because you have those other restaurants.
Yes.
What's the communication between the chefs?
Well, for the most part, there's four different locations all over to Gwinnett to, you know, down off 14th Street is our newest location. And for the most part, each restaurant focuses on a different cuisine. Ultimately, we have two Italian restaurants and two Spanish restaurants. And, you know, the chefs get together every few months, and we kind of just pick each other's brains, see what's going on, what purveyor or supplier we're using, what kind of new creative ideas. We follow each other on Instagram and all that. So, you know, we try to stay up to date with what's going on in that aspect. And we also, you know, following this week, we'll have a Castellucci Hospitality Group restaurant week of our own, where all restaurants kind of participate, and we'll be doing a chef's dinner where all the chefs from all the restaurants will get together, and we're going to kick off the restaurant week.
You try and outdo each other. Is it competitive in that type of situation?
I want a ticket to that one.
I know, right?
Yeah, right. What is that?
But that's you know, for the most part, we try to, you know, keep each other on our toes. We're all young chefs, and we're trying to make each other better while we go. But yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun.
LiberianPigATL.com is the website. Obviously, you can find out more about Decatur Restaurant Week. Before we go, Mary, I want to ask you, as we have the chef here, restaurants and cooking used to be, you know, kind of an under-the-radar thing. Then Iron Chef kind of hits. Then Top Chef, I think, really did some stuff in Hell's Kitchen. How big, with these celebrity chefs and these TV shows, how much has that done for interest in that industry and business for you?
Oh, it's been tremendous. I mean, I started my business in 1995, which I think Food Network started in 94 or early 95. And just the rise with that, it was luck, right? I mean, sometimes we just get lucky about things. But people are so into food and cooking, and people are talking about the shows all the time. What it really does is it keeps us on our toes, because we used to always be educating the customers, and now the customers are coming in and sometimes educating us, and they're super smart. So we're always researching and finding the latest and the newest and being on our game in terms of product. It's a very different dynamic and a different energy, and it's great. And the kids are so passionate. I mean, the kids that take classes and come to our summer cooking camps, they know all the chefs. They watch all the shows. I mean, they are on it.
Well, they've got the one that Gordon Ramsay does with the kids.
Yeah, the Master Chef
kids.
Yeah,
that one. Yeah.
It's really great. I mean, I'm very hopeful that in another, you know, 10, 20 years, people are not going to be saying, oh, I never cook. You know, I grew up, I don't know how to cook. I don't know how to boil water. I mean, I'm hoping we're really, really growing a new generation that loves really good food and real food and likes to cook and be together.
You piqued my interest earlier. I have a 3-year-old, and you said you start cooking classes.
Yes.
Is that like peanut butter and jelly? What are you able to do with them?
No, they do.
So early?
You know, they do real food. I mean,
fried bologna. You would have
fried. Yeah,
I remember plenty
like
of that.
What we
had
at
a lot
three.
Of that. Yeah. Yeah.
But they do a lot of different things. They mix things together. They make little pizzas. We try to really put kids in the kitchen and have them cook. I mean, some of our competition in town, kids will come in and go, oh, you know, it wasn't so much fun because I didn't really get to do anything. I mean, for our kids' classes, not the 3-year-old, but starting at 9, and it's certainly the 10 to 17, they have knives in their hands. They are making real food. They're making souffles or cooking with, you know, making sauces and doing desserts. And they have a little Iron Chef style competition during the kids' camp.
That's
and
fun.
They love it. So we are all about real food.
How often do you see a kid and you go, all right, there's natural ability there? And you can just see it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we do see that. We see that all the time. And you can tell. I mean, some of them are timid about it, and some of them are just into it, and some have a great palate already, you know, and they'll explore, and they're willing to taste anything and want to work with different ingredients. So, you know, like everything else, some are more open to it than others.
It's got to be a great way for kids to maybe find their niche. Maybe kids aren't into sports or kids aren't into whatever, and maybe they find their way in the kitchen. So that's
you know, and
cool.
There's some kids who say today, you know, I want to be a chef. And some chef said, I knew from the time I was a kid, I wanted to be a chef. And so we see some of those. And then we see others who are just, they love it because it's just fun.
Mm-hmm. Eric, how about you? When we talk about celebrity chefs and we talk about the chef TV shows and cooking, are you a fan of any of those? Do you have a favorite celebrity chef? Or
you know, whenever I was in high school, I would come home and it was on PBS at the time. Great Chefs of the World, Great Chefs of America. That show doesn't exist anymore.
No, it doesn't. It was
but,
a great one.
It was more of a, tutorial type of cooking class and a cooking show, and for the most part that's how I fell in love with food and cooking, and went to culinary school and got in the industry, and then Food Network came along, put some more emphasis on it. There's some more great shows that are, you know, Mind of a Chef I think is now on PBS, and it's something that it's a great insight into the chef's world outside of the, you know, the famous chefs on television that we all know of, you know, currently. But it kind of gives more insight into our industry, and it's a great tool, you know, to kind of understand more about what we do.
I like the shows where they just throw ingredients at them and they have to put something together with them.
Oh, like
love
Chopped.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one. But your point is also great that it's not just Food Network at all.
Yeah.
There are really some other channels, Bravo, and I mean, Anthony
Bourdain's
show
yeah.
is awesome.
Yeah.
And it's to see multiple
Netflix.
Shows on primetime that are cooking related is amazing.
We know Gordon Ramsay style. In the kitchen?
Yeah.
Is that the way you relate to your sous chefs and your servers? And
I'm trying to steer away from that now, actually. Early in my career, I came up with that, and I have some of that in me, yes.
Didn't work out too well.
believe it or not, it's a new generation that, you know, of kids coming into our industry, and they don't necessarily relate as well as what we were, you know, what we did in the past.
Well, speaking of that, one of the things I love about what they've done on television over the past 15, 20 years is that they've introduced the entertainment element. I mean, you used to watch somebody doing a cooking segment and it'd be really like
the Julia Child thing.
Yeah, and the occasional one-liner, but now
oh,
they
she was
really
great though.
Oh, she was. She
yeah.
was.
I grew up watching her.
You can't go wrong with Julia Child. I mean, she was money. But I just like the fact that they make it more entertaining, and maybe do you think that's helping to bring more kids to it?
Yeah, and you know, it's like I said, it's mixed. I think that it gives some people misinterpretations of what our industry is at times, and at the same time, there's shows that, you know, give you insight on what we really do. And you know, it's not a game show by any means. Tonight we're gonna be very busy. Tomorrow we'll be busy, and next week with Restaurant Week we'll be even busier. So it's not this isn't The Price is Right.
You never see the chef after a rush sitting out behind the restaurant with a bag of ice on his neck, just trying to cool down. You hardly ever see that.
Yeah. Before we wrap up with these food and drink shows, we'd like to go around the table. One dish that you would recommend, the must-have at your restaurant or your spot. Mary, we'll start with you. Maybe a class that you would recommend at Cook's Warehouse?
Well, I would say certainly if you're just getting started, some of our fundamentals. We have a Kitchen Basics technique series, our Knife Skills 101, the Homemade Pasta is one of our number one classes. So, but it really depends on what you're into. We've got sauces, you know, getting some of the fundamentals down if you're getting started, that's really important. But if you want to just expand your repertoire and you want to get into something you haven't done before, we have that too. So it's really a personal choice. But the good news is we have everything.
Well, and I saw your schedule. It is jam-packed just about every day with options.
It is.
So that's very cool.
And this time of year, too, we've also got tons of gift-giving opportunities and corporate gifts. We
very
do that
cool.
as well. If you need your logo on something really nice, other than a cheap thing, we got you covered.
Awesome. Rory, at Cafe Jaya, a coffee drink, perhaps a craft beer that you would recommend?
Well, you know, I have to actually say that they're all awesome. So, but what I would like to recommend, though, is we do have a few events that we do on a regular basis. So the first Saturday of every month, so this coming Saturday, from 3 until 5 o'clock, we have a proper high tea. So
wow.
It's got the scones, the crumpets, the pétifors, the little cucumber sandwiches without the crust. And we do it silver service style. And
I'm guessing you're the only person in Stone Mountain who does that.
We are. And we really do it right, and it's a lot of fun. It's only $20 a person, which is, you know, very reasonable. And we have live classical music on stage.
That's cool.
And we have volunteers, community leaders from Stone Mountain who volunteer to come serve. So it's interesting in that facet, too. And then the third Saturday of every month from 1 until 4, we have Singers Showcase, and we have a three-piece band, a stand-up bass and a drum and a keyboard, and they're awesome. And sometimes they bring some horns, but they have singers come from all over Atlanta and come and sing with them. And that's a lot of fun. That's 1 to 4. And then on the 21st of this month, which is a Wednesday night from 7:30 to 9:30, that six-piece Latin jazz band is coming back I told you about. And they're Tito Gatto, and they used to be Wild Rice. And if anyone's familiar with them, they'll be there. We never have a cover charge because we are a community coffee house, and so there's no minimum, no cover charge. So come out and enjoy something.
That's
what's the date of that again? I'm actually putting it in my
Wednesday, October 21st.
October 21st. So check that out at Cafe Jaya.
7:30 to 9:30.
AJ, as we get to you, Da Vinci's Pizza, what's the one pizza that it's kind of your favorite?
I got to pick one?
Yeah, you got to pick your favorite child.
All right, my favorite child currently is the Bella Noche. I told you I was on a kick with the olive oil-based pizzas. You got your tomatoes on there. You got spinach, artichoke hearts, garlic, red onion, mozzarella, provolone. Nice little choice for somebody who happens to be vegetarian.
That's true.
Our best seller is the Meat Happy Pizza. It's a Da Vinci Deluxe. It's got all the meat on there. It's got your pepperoni, ham, Italian sausage, red onions, green peppers, mushroom, black olives, tomatoes. And the thing about any of our pizzas is that differentiates us from the lower cost option. A couple things. The dough itself goes through a three-day process before we'll even use it. The dough is made, and then it goes into a cooler, and we do that so the dough has a chance to oxidize properly. It makes a big difference as far as what happens with the taste. People, even who like New York pizza, even though our pizza is traditional hand toss instead of the thin crust, they still love the crust that we throw out there because it's so flavorful. And I usually don't eat crust, but I like to eat our crust. But no matter what you get, you're going to get a lot of toppings. Just know that going in because that's what we do.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Da Vinci's Pizza Indicator. Check that out. Chef Eric from Iberian Pig, if there's one you got to put out there, one dish, one tapa.
So lamb chops actually is one of my favorites. We do.
Is that a constant on the menu?
Yes, it is. Okay. We do an herb marinated grilled lamb chop with a pasilla negra mole sauce with roasted pumpkin and Brussels sprouts and some Marcona almonds. It's fantastic to die for.
Is anybody else hungry?
That got the water.
Yeah, I'm very hungry.
That got the squirt bottles in the back of the mouth.
Well, we appreciate having all you guys here. Mary Moore, the founder and CEO of Cook's Warehouse, their website, cookswarehouse.com. They're on Twitter, at Cook's Warehouse, and every other social media platform imaginable. Rory Webb, the proprietor of Cafe Jaya. They're at Cafe Jaya on Twitter. CafeJaya.com is the website. AJ Cannon from Da Vinci's Indicator. Again, the website, DaVinci'sDelivers.com.
That's right. And our phone number indicator, if you want to call up an order, you can do that at 404-687-9155. 404-687-9155. Call now. We need your pledge.
Perfect. They are open and ready to go. And Chef Eric Roberts from Iberian Pig, about to be very, very busy with Decatur Restaurant Week and Castellucci Restaurant Week and everything else. Follow them on Twitter at Iberian Pig. The website, IberianPigATL.com. That'll do it for this edition of DeKalb Business Today. For executive producer Jason Becknell, I'm Matt Holmes. We'll see you next time. Same time, same place, right here on DeKalb Business Radio.